Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Boom, and we are back. I am Dan Kaplan, your host, and with me, as always, is Caleb the Big Dog Abney.
What
Caleb,
up, Dan?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, Dan. I'm so excited. We got lacrosse is finally back. We got games under our belt. I'm so excited to get into it with you.
Let's do it. And it is officially time to kick the rust because we have games from last weekend to recap. We have games from this upcoming weekend and a little bit of a midweek slate to preview. Mm-hmm. We have tons of good tidbits in between, and this episode is going to be another good one.
Yeah, we got the battle for Kentucky. We got the midweek showdown, which is going to impact the top 30, as well as a great slate for the weekend. So I'm just so excited to get into it.
And at the end here, we have a vicious.
Some people have said the most contentious Big Dog Big Takes that has ever aired.
We have a vicious segment of the Big Dog's Big Takes where he gives us three what he calls hot takes that I call just blatantly wrong.
Well, we'll have to get into it, see what the people think.
And before we do, let's go ahead and we're going to kick it off with reviewing some of the stuff from what happened this weekend.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's kick it. With all that said, let's go ahead and dive in on some game action here. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right, so I guess the first spot to start is probably with the game of the week, Salisbury-Roanoke. What do you think?
Yeah, that one was a little bit of a surprise for me. You know, I looked up and saw 5-5 on the scoreboard in the beginning of the second quarter. It was like, what's going on here, Dan? We were shooting some texts back and forth. But just like we expected, you know, Salisbury kind of stepped in, got that dominant look, and kind of took off running. I think we got 25 combined points from Salisbury's big three, if we want to call them, and Jude Brown, Jack Dodd, and Ferreira. So we knew those guys were going to take over that game, but it was just a matter of time of when. So we can get into it a little bit later. I got maybe some questionable hot takes on Salisbury. We'll have to see. But what did you think about the game, Dan?
The big three, I know you saw my reel on Instagram, shout out me. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Past Dan, which is definitely a different version than me.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, but I love when he does stuff. So Past Dan did a reel combining some of those points, and it's some pretty, pretty dynamic stuff. Somebody commented on it that is some pretty crappy zone defense, and I'm not so sure that they're wrong. And there's definitely a theme in that video that has to do with Jude Brown catching the ball on that right pipe and then just like having a multitude of options. Mm-hmm. And actually Ferreira gets one on the same little look on like a short dodge on that right little spot at the pipe, kind of near GLE, where you can come up the hash and just like shoot it off the hip or get underneath and come across the crease.
Yeah, and Jude, I mean, four goals, five assists.
Yeah,
like
him and Dowd, by the way, Dowd.
Six
know
goals,
what.
Three assists, like completely out of nowhere. It looked like they could just do whatever they wanted when they got the ball.
Yeah, and that is partially true. And it wasn't just against the zone. They were pretty good in man looks, too. There's a sequence in the second quarter, which they win that second quarter 7-1 and just, like, blow that game open. But there's a sequence in that second quarter where Dowd dodges the lefty alley and like kind of goes to the like a short dodge from the wing, like kind of a re-dodge type of a look, and ends up feeding one to the back pipe. Mm-hmm. And then on the very next look, they don't slide at all. I mean, they're setting themselves up for failure from the start, guarding him with the short stick. But he's able to just totally take advantage of it. So he makes him pay in that look against man. Mm-hmm. And then against zone, and this is one thing that, like, is kind of scouty, but one thing that he does really, really well is he freezes the defense because, I mean, he can really, really bring it. So he does a good job of kind of complementing that with a few different things, like hitch or, you know, like a hitch to a split, anything like that. But also, he'll come in, freeze it, and then draw all the eyes of the defense and then hit you as a feeder. And so at some point we talked about it, but he was a preseason first-teamer, and he had 30 goals last year and 34 assists. And for somebody who can really score as well as he can also really feed it. So he's got a pretty dynamic skill set. And it showed in that game, taking advantage of whatever look they saw and ended up with 9 points on the day.
Definitely, yep. Salisbury's offense was impressive. But if you had to answer this question, Dan, are you buying Roanoke's offense and how well they played, or are you selling Salisbury's defense and how much they gave up?
Wait, word that again?
Yeah, so you can either buy Roanoke's offense. Yeah. You're saying they're hot. They dropped 10 points on a pretty good Salisbury defense. That's great for Roanoke. Or are you saying, I don't really like Salisbury's defense? You know, there could be some question marks there that led to those 10 points from Roanoke. So are you buying
that offense? Is this a lead into one of those big dog hot takes that you were referring to earlier?
It's definitely probably on the list, you know. Might be alluding to something like that.
So, yeah, no, I'm not going to go ahead and grab the proverbial panic button out of the shelf after this if I'm a Salisbury defender. What I think I did think was interesting was that they had Ballard guarding Luke Kamerman, which I would have guessed going into the game that they would have had Timmons do it because he guarded all of everybody's number one dodging threat last year. So that was a little bit interesting, but perhaps it was more of just a matchup-based thing. Not totally sure. But one thing I do think is interesting about that defense, and if you had directly asked this question, I'd be giving you a whole lot of credit. But if you look back at the past couple of Salisbury defenses that have been like that next level of good, like they're always going to be at least pretty
good,
right?
They're always dominant. They're always big bodies.
Yeah. If you look at the difference between like the great Salisbury defenses and, you know, the ones that are just, you know, good, it's short stick D mid play. And with Woodward hurt this year, who's been a number one option for him, and I don't know when he comes back. He busted up his knee pretty good in the C2C championship last year. So I don't know when he comes back. I'm going to butcher this last name, but I think it's Glushkow, something along those lines.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah.
He's then the next guy up, and I just don't think that he's as disruptive. I don't totally buy his game to the same degree. And then the next guys after that are new faces we just don't know a ton about yet.
Yeah.
One of them I remember from recruiting. I remember him coming out. He's from California and would come out east and would tear up some events. So I have high hopes for him. I think he could be awesome. But like I said, we just don't know about those guys yet. And then the other one is Quinton Young out of St. John's in D.C., which, again, was another guy in recruiting that when they picked up, I was like, oh, dang, like that's a pretty good pickup. And so now those guys are in these roles where they're going to get to play. And, you know, it's either time to shine or we're going to have to be talking about how that difference between those great Salisbury teams and this Salisbury team is short 60 mid play.
Yep. Yeah, no, totally agree. I know last week we talked about how Salisbury's returning so many people that this should really be, you know, a good cornerstone for them and something that they can build off of. And, you know, kind of just seems like it's something that's a little rocky right now. They really had to rely on that offense just to pull out a game against Roanoke, who should have been, you know, someone that they walk on normally, historically walk on pretty good there. So
I'm not willing to go full in on your take there. I'll let you kind of start to ease into that for
the
big dog
big take.
Yeah, we'll let you ease into that. But it wasn't exactly a game where the outcome was ever really in jeopardy, in my opinion.
Got it. Yep, definitely understand that. And you could kind of tell that just by watching it. It wasn't, is Salisbury going to drop this game? It's when is Salisbury going to go ahead and kind of take over this game? And we saw it happen in the second quarter there.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So let's move ahead and move right down the line here. A couple other games that happened this weekend. We did have a pair of blowouts with Lynchburg beating Ferrum 22-1 and St. Mary's beating Southern Virginia 21-9, something we know a little bit about. Dan, you got your hand up. Hit me with some info here. What you got?
How quickly do you want me to correct you when you mispronounce things?
Oh, right away. Okay, but it's going to be a multi.
The one exception to this, I will say, is Bowdoin. It cracks me up that every time you see it written on that, like I can literally see sweat beads on your forehead start like forming when you have to pronounce the word Bowdoin, which. Perhaps now you're committed to memory now that I said it, but I'll never correct you on that one because I think it's hilarious, and so do they. So I'm never going to correct you on that one.
Fair.
But so far you Dowd, not whatever came out of your mouth earlier, and Ferrum.
Ferrum. Okay. Yeah,
not Ferrum.
Ferrum. Ferrum. That's a pretty close one, though. That's one you maybe could have given to
you
me.
You are not from Alabama. If you were had, like, a southern accent for other things, sure, I would have let it slide. But you can't only have a southern accent when it comes to pronouncing the word Ferrum.
Fair. All right. I'll give you that. Ferrum it is. But Ferrum gets stomped by Lynchburg, 22-1, just as we thought. So do you have anything on those games before we move along to Mary Wash, Randolph-Macon?
No, not particularly, but the one thing of note for that, and I guess, I mean, we could save this for later, but we'll just preview the other games that we already have on the list later. But those two teams play each other, Lynchburg and St. Mary's, this weekend.
That's going to be an awesome game.
Yeah, it should be one of those games that, like, I don't know that I'm picking St. Mary's, but if they run in there and give them a run for their money, like this time next week when we're talking about games, we could definitely be talking about that one being some sort of a litmus test for both sides.
Yeah, I think what you said there, litmus test, that's going to be good. Just judging off, you know, how I see Lynchburg and kind of what my hopes for them, I think that they need to have a sort of dominant performance against a team like this. So I personally expect sort of not a Lynchburg blowout, but a dominant Lynchburg performance. Let's say something like a 12-5, 12-8 sort of range, but Lynchburg has it in hand sort of the whole time. That's what I'm envisioning. Wouldn't surprise me, though, if St. Mary's comes in, gives them a good run for their money. It's still early on, working out a lot of kinks. So could see either thing happening, but my money's definitely on Lynchburg coming out and dominating the game.
Yeah, and for me, and like I said, I don't want to keep going too far into this preview mode, but I feel like this weekend is officially, like, if you were having any troubles shaking the rust to this point, it's time to get it kicked into gear, and this is one of the matchups that kind of does it for me.
Definitely moves the needle quite a bit. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, but hey, so moving right along, Mary Wash, they took on Randolph-Macon this weekend. We had a 20-14 point game with Mary Wash taking the cake. What'd you see from this one, Dan? Who impressed you? Who maybe gave you some surprises?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to hit the surprises first, which is basically the whole outcome. If you had, if we had done picks before this for this week, I would have taken Randolph-Macon. So Mary Wash winning that game is somewhat of a surprise to me. Them outright winning it, I guess, if it was a close game and they ended up winning it, like, sure, I could see that. But them owning it and dominating the matchup and jumping out on them 6-1 and kind of just, like, being the driver of the momentum and the dictating the pace of the game for most of it was a little bit surprising to me, and definitely is one of those things that early in the year when you get a win like that under your belt – can give you some momentum. And I mean, for me and for, I'm sure, other D3 fans, like, that's exciting. For Mary Wash to be, you know, right in the mix is going to be restore some rivalries, and it's good for D3.
Yeah, I really like what Mary Washington is putting together up there. I think they got some good recruits coming in. But to that point, I think Randolph-Macon being a little bit down this year is really what you maybe sort of missed in that recap, or thinking that Randolph-Macon would make this a good game, because they did lose a lot of good players. They lost two starters to Richmond, and then they lost Derek, the attackman, to Vermont, which he actually had a great goal this weekend against Cuse, if you caught that. So I think those losses for Randolph-Macon they've definitely felt that a lot more than we thought that they would, and they those people kind of had a lot on the team, so taking them away from the team definitely hurt them in my eyes, and this is where you see these 20-14 wins against Mary Wash come into play.
Yep, and then the other thing that we have to mention here, and it's kind of crazy that we've made it this far without mentioning it, is JD Nosemack, who tallied a career-high 10 points in that game. And that's on, I think it was 3-7. So definitely one of those guys that can dictate an offense and that you can pretty much rely on to really take on like a quarterback role and be a guy that, you know, when the defense is ready to slide and goes quickly, can orchestrate things. And if they're not, then he can try and turn the corner and get his own. So, and he came into the season as a preseason honorable mention guy. So not totally a new commodity, someone that, you know, is a bit known, but to step out and have 10 points on your first game and bring home a win is definitely starting the season on the right foot.
I would say so, for sure. Big win for them.
And then they also had a new off-ball threat kind of working there for him with four goals, and that was Henry Moog, who's a Cabrini transfer. So,
wow. Yep, getting a lot done from some new faces, new players there. That's awesome.
Yep, so
awesome to see.
Definitely interesting result. And then one thing that is the most exciting part of this is that it sets up a awesome midweek game here with Mary Washington and Catholic.
Yes, that's going to be a great game.
It's what I've deemed as the very first ever in history.
Okay.
Win and you're in for the top 30.
No.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Yep. This is huge.
Because Catholic's in.
Is there a trophy? Do you get a plaque or anything for this?
No, absolutely not. Okay. That would be like the participation award of all participation awards.
I think I still have my NCAA one in the basement somewhere.
Yeah, rightfully where it should be.
Yep. Stored away.
But yeah, so Catholic's in. And if you recall last week, you asked me who was my short leash. Do you remember my answer?
I don't remember it.
It was Catholic.
There you go. Yeah. man. I just remember your long leash because I hated it.
Who was my long leash?
F&M.
Oh, right. Yeah.
F&M. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's burned in my mind.
Oh, yeah. So you recall the segment, just not the answer for the short leash.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so if you recall that, and then Mary Wash, already a pretty impressive win with Macon. And then now I think if they come out and then they handle Catholic, we could be looking at a swapsies.
Yeah, that would be quite fun to see this early on in the season, too.
Win and you're in. Woo! Declared on the D3 pod.
I can't wait to watch that. It's going to be electric.
Yeah, and I guess now we can skip that in the later segment when we get to our previews. But
yeah,
couldn't hold back.
I already gave the people a sneak peek. Needed it.
Boom.
Yeah, that was awesome stuff, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's
so,
keep it rolling.
Yeah, we'll keep it rolling. Before we get to those previews, we got one more kind of crazy game we do have to mention, which was another pronunciation I'm going to mess up, but it's FDU Florham. 12, which all and then Albright 11. Crazy game. What'd you think about this? I personally, I'm not gonna try to trick the people. I did not catch this one. So what did you see?
Well, that's an incredible point that you just made, because if you'll go ahead and check my outline notes here, what I've added to it.
Yep.
You see what that says?
It
can you read my scribble?
Available for replay.
That's correct. You can go back and watch it. It's on the FDU website.
I know my plans later tonight.
And it's worth it because it is a crazy game of runs.
Okay.
Like FDU comes out, goes down by 2, then they're up 6-2, then they're down 9-7, and then they go on a 3-goal run in the 4th that they end up winning by 1.
Wow.
So a crazy game that, as I stated, is available for replay. So you D3 fans out there, make a little time, go watch that FDU Albright game. It's worth your time.
Awesome. That's great to see. Can't wait to check that one out. All right, so moving right along, we did have a couple scrimmages we do need to touch on before we get into the weekend preview here. We did have, you know, RIT take on Yale. St. John Fisher did some scrimmaging, as well as Dickinson and Tufts. So, Dan, why don't you start with RIT versus Yale? What did you see there? How'd they hold up against the Yale squad, which we know is pretty good?
Yep, so I didn't get to make it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you head to the IL Discord or to Dan Arestia's Twitter, you can feel like you went, because he was loading up a thread with a ton of different information. And I know we want to roll through the scrimmage notes section quick, so you can keep me on track here.
Oh, yeah.
But my biggest question mark about it was the biggest question mark about RIT, and as we stated last week, you know, Wheeler are going to have awesome pulls. They bring a ton back on offense. They need to do some replacing in the midfield. They need to replace their faceoff specialist. They need to replace their goalie from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest question mark for me, because I know at the faceoff X, even if I was out there taking faceoffs, if Mike Grace was on one wing and Taylor Jensen was on the other wing, I'm going to win some faceoffs.
It doesn't
matter. I'll just stand up and start subbing, and we would end up winning a couple. So not totally worried about it there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the goal, that
could
be a difference maker.
That's always my biggest question,
right?
You always know that.
And I have it on pretty good authority that – let me actually pull up the exact message here that he said.
Yep. You got some inside sources here?
I do. I know somebody who was there that isn't just Dan Arestia, if that is hard to believe.
This is an inside scoop, inside lacrosse scoop, brought to you by Baskin-Robbins.
And Baskin-Robbins. No free ads. Baskin Robbins sucks.
Haven't visited them in years.
Word for word, and I don't mean to be dramatic, he was sick. Yeah.
Really?
Yep. He was sick.
Sick was the exact words?
Yep. And that was Burbank. So definitely one thing to go ahead and add to the pile of reasons that we think that RIT is going to be pretty dang good again this year.
Mm-hmm. Like we said, a disappointment if they don't three-peat.
Also, if they want to let me take some face-offs for them, that would be sick.
I think you still got a fifth year, right?
I think that the right opponent would let us do it just for the coverage.
I think it'd be great, yeah.
I that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The right opponent, we wait until the outcome is that we probably
pretty
knew was
yep.
potentially was inevitable before the game even started.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they just let me throw on an RIT jersey and go out there and take some face-offs.
Yeah, I could go and let 15 goals in. That'd be easy.
No, you're not allowed. Don't steal my glory.
Fine, I'd be in the front row cheering you on.
Yes.
You know it.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I'd paint my chest, Dan Kaplan.
I think I could score a goal.
You think?
I think I could get it going in transition.
You couldn't even score on me in practice.
I think I could score if I played for it might just be part of the jersey and, like, helmet you get on,
like,
and all of a sudden
like,
you have like all these boxy Canadian skills.
Yeah,
that you didn't
yeah, like
have
the
before.
Power of Thor when you get the hammer, like
literally
boom.
No different.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. Just, it would make sense.
Just floating it out there.
How good they are. Yeah.
Just throwing it out there. The other idea I'd like to throw out real quick here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And this is kind of random, but it was brought up to me today, and I've never done it before, but I think I'd like to try if anybody's willing to give me a shot. But I think I'd like to call a game, not play-by-play.
Okay.
I don't want
more
to be
more of a color
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I don't want to be and Johnny just sweeps over the top and moves it one more, and I don't want to do that.
You'd be great at that, though.
But let me come in, add some color. You know, talk about why this team is, you know, sliding and creating turnovers, or come in and talk about a little offensive set.
Oh
so,
yeah.
Yeah. If there's anybody out there that wants to put me behind a microphone for a game in a non-play-by-play role, you let me know.
I think this is a great forum to release that information. So anybody out there, hit us up, dkaplan46 on Twitter. He's ready.
Or you can use my agent. Feel free to slide into Caleb's DMs and ask about us.
Yep, I only
we're
take
a package deal.
25% commission on all his contracts. So.
And Caleb has to do a sideline reporter role.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You just go live from your
from
social
my Instagram.
Media.
Yeah, on
the sideline.
That would be great. Get some interviews maybe right after like a coach gets scored on. Like, coach, what'd you think about that goal? And just get the rawest information.
Again, I feel like the right opponents, the right game would let you just come down and like just go live from inside
all
the box,
field pass.
Like in the box.
Yeah, oh.
Like, face-off is happening, and you're standing next to the ref.
Basically, PLL action, like
yeah.
Right up in there.
Oh my god,
that would be so sick,
dude. Did you just ask to be D3 RJ Kaminsky?
I mean,
you would crush it.
You think so?
For sure.
It makes me feel so good.
You'd crush it.
Man. Well, moving right along.
Yeah, get us back on track.
Getting away from our long shot dreams that may never come true.
Yeah.
But who knows? St. John Fisher versus Scranton. I know Scranton, you know, they've done some great things over the past couple of years, some great coaching in there, getting some good guys in. What'd you think about this St. John Fisher game?
I heard that it was a Scranton win. And starters on starters ended up tilting Scranton's direction as well. And then backups on backups was pretty close and ended up narrowing the gap a little bit. But a few notable performances for St. John's Fisher is a midfielder that actually I kind of think fell off the scene a little bit, but now could potentially be right back on track to step into a pretty significant role. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and go back to 2020. Yeah, all that time ago, right before COVID.
Pre-COVID, right?
Yep, right before COVID, there were teams that played, like, I don't know, five games. St. John's Fisher was one of them. And then at the end of the season, we were obviously trying to do as much, like, coverage and content as possible. So we ended up doing a freshman, all-freshman team, 2020 all-freshman team. Samuel Miller was a selection on that and now is in a spot once again to kind of step into a role and be an impact guy. So he's a name that kind of was just a piece of the product last year and was just kind of along for the ride, that now with some of those offensive threats that graduated, he's going to have to step into a more significant role and seem to be doing so in that scrimmage.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Now, so going back to your top 30, I know you had St. John Fisher a little high up at 12. That's when we talked about. And I did notice that Scranton wasn't on this list. So I know it's early. I know we're just talking scrimmages. We're just talking scrimmages. Any buyer's remorse on either of these?
No.
Don't think Scranton's going to be a top 30 team come March?
Well, that's not what I'm saying either. But, I mean, they definitely could. And I also, we've said this before, like, the Landmark is up for grabs, in my opinion. Like, Catholic is looking to make it three straight, but we've talked about them a few different times at this point.
Yep, and we'll know a lot, after Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll find out a bit more after Wednesday. That's right. So is it possible for Scranton to be, like, in that 25 to 30 mix? Sure. Is it possible for them to be, like, on that bubble? Absolutely, you know, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely not having buyer's remorse on St. John Fisher at 12 based on what they've done the last few years. You know, they at least get that benefit of the doubt for now until we see more on, like, a, you know, game basis. And we can't do too much judging on the scrimmage.
Fair. That's definitely fair. You know, you got some people probably aren't playing that probably could and vice versa.
A million different things. You're trying things. Like,
plays, new formations. For sure. Maybe you don't even want to show them your good stuff. Maybe you're just playing totally. Like backup plays.
You already know some of your older guys, what they bring to the table, so you're trying to get extra young guys reps, all sorts of different things.
Yeah, it's tough when there's just not much out there, and, you know, as a D3 Lax fan, I just crave content and games, so when I see a score and I hear you say Scranton put up a fight against them, it's like, like, that gets my blood going. That gets me going a little bit.
Very well said.
Yeah. Good. All right, so moving right ahead, another one that kind of gets my blood going a little bit, Dickinson. They had a try scrimmage with not only Drexel but Penn too. Some really good competition. Doesn't sound like you were there, just judged on, you know, how this has been, but tell me a little bit about what you heard, what you saw.
I literally know nothing besides that it happened.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. Great coverage.
Yeah. So if anybody was there and hears this and wants to do some filling in, feel free to head to the IL Discord.
Yeah. Hit us up or tweet us, do whatever. But we'd love to kind of hear what happened. Obviously, you know, I would expect Drexel and Penn to kind of assert themselves there. But who knows? We're scrimmages. These are
you
scrimmages.
Never know who runs starters on starters and for how long and all these sorts of things. So
definitely,
it's hard to put too much into it, but it's, you know, at least fun to know that these teams are out and competing, and, you know, scrimmage action means that you're one step away from game action.
There you go. Yep. And then finally, to kind of round out the scrimmages that we had this weekend, we did see Tufts go up against Wesleyan.
Nope, you're reading this outline wrong, but I'm glad to come in here and shine some light.
Oh, fix me up then.
Yep, so last weekend, Tufts was supposed to have a scrimmage with Dartmouth and Brown.
Okay.
Wesleyan was also supposed to have a scrimmage, but NESCAC rules steps in and says that there's no competition for the first so many days of action or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so both of them weren't able to scrimmage, which means that they were both able to scrimmage each other, which I think is sick because they don't have to play each other in, like, a real capacity until later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's very obviously an iron sharpens iron type of thing where, like, it's two good teams that now have a chance to get after each other and compete. And otherwise, they might be in a spot where, like, how are you gonna find a scrimmage in a week? You know, like, what else are these teams gonna do? They're kind of like have their hands forced to do it.
And you need that preseason prep.
But I think it's props to them for taking the scrimmage and, you know, getting things together and letting the guys go after it, even if, you know, they're gonna end up playing each other definitely in the regular season and perhaps again in NESCAC playoffs and perhaps again in the NCAA playoffs as well.
Definitely.
These teams could be pretty dang familiar with each other by
this
the end
might
of the
be
year.
A matchup we're talking about in May saying, why did they show them this in February? You know, why did they play? So we'll see. All right. So you ready to get into what we got coming up this week and this weekend?
Yes, I am. I mean, this is our first preview segment. Like, I'm jacked up for this one.
This amped. Amped is another great word you can use there.
Jacked up, amped, fired up, pumped up, name it.
All the synonyms, yes. Every single one.
All of them.
I'm just so pumped for it. So we'll get right ahead, get into it. We already touched on it, Catholic versus Mary Wash. That's going to be our big midweek matchup, which Dan has declared the top 30 matchup of the week.
Win and you're in.
Woo! So make sure you catch that. It's going to be awesome, but that's going to be on Wednesday. But moving right along, we're going to look into this weekend. And so the first big notable matchup that we have is going to be York versus WNL. Big one for us, former Spartans. And I know it was a tough one last year where it was 8-7 York. There was a lot of defensive plays. I know Jack Michael stood on his head a couple times, made some big saves, and bailed him out quite a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see here now that the Spartans have kind of moved on from some of those key players. And the WNL general still looking pretty good. What do you think here, Dan?
Yep. And so York has actually won this matchup 7 straight.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And obviously WNL is going to look to put an end to it here. Mm. It's been a really good contest every year. And it's always one of those, like, I'll say similar to what I was saying about Lynchburg, St. Mary's. But when York and WNL get on the board and, like, you see that game coming up, like, you know, like, all right, beginning of the season's here. This is going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, WNL has always had really good defenses. You know, even the last, I would say, few years before Coach Koch left, and then even ensuing Coach Koch leaving, they've had some pretty good defenses. And so it'll be interesting to see. I would expect, again, probably for this one to be low scoring. I think both defenses are, like I said, are going to be pretty good. Traditionally, WNL has taken a bit of time to figure out their lineups. They've played a lot of different young guys and kind of taken a little bit of time to find the right chemistry. And so it's one thing that, like, if they were able to do that or come into this season with a little extra continuity, perhaps that pays some dividends for them.
Yeah, I know last year that was definitely a big thing where they started off very slow, dropped a couple early ones they shouldn't have, and then come tournament time, they were definitely, you know, a force to be reckoned with, but losing all those games early just really hurt them and put them in a bad spot.
Yeah, that's well said, and I just think it depends, you know, we'll find out exactly where that chemistry is and where that continuity levels are at this point in the season here on Saturday, but like we said, we've talked about York a bit. In the last episode, we were able to see them in scrimmage action, mm-hmm. talk about some of those losses. And so they're in a spot where they're also creating an identity for themselves and trying to make sure that their chemistry and continuity is all in order. I think that one spot that we can definitely look to see, like, I think it'll be a good battle there and could definitely tilt the outcome, but that's going to be at the X with Matt Gallagher facing off for WNL and Vinny Fassipani facing off for York. So one kind of game within the game that'll be interesting to watch here for this one.
Definitely, yep. And I think for me it's going to be key to see how the York defense can come out and respond against a top 20 sort of offense that's always kind of brought the heat onto them and historically has made them make big plays in order to stay in the game. So is York's personnel going to be able to come to the task ready to go?
And then I also have to give a quick personal anecdote.
Oh, of course.
And I'm sure that 99.999% of people right now are thinking that the personal anecdote is going to have to do with the Spartans.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But curveball, this is about the old Generals.
Oh, okay. Back to your Lynchburg days?
Nope.
Oh.
Even better, back to my days as an uncle.
Oh.
Yeah, my nephew is a 2023. Thank you. Mm-hmm. My nephew is a 2023 grad. Mm-hmm. So he's got lots of buddies that just kind of went off into their freshman years of college. He's a senior, but mm-hmm. so one of his, like, lifetime best friends is a freshman at WNL.
Oh, okay.
And is a good player. And I think is going to be in a spot to potentially play for him pretty early.
Okay.
So I'm kind of torn. I would love to see York win by 100, but Byron have like 10 goals or 10 points or something like that.
Maybe 100 to 10 is your dream scoreboard?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. 100 to 10 would be sweet. Perfect. York wins by 90, but Byron has 10 points.
Okay. I can get behind a scoreboard like that.
Thank you for the time on the personal anecdote.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's awesome to hear, though. Good to hear the grassroots kind of coming up.
Yeah, and he's an awesome kid, like total lax rat.
Oh, awesome.
It's actually funny. In the Baltimore area, if you Google like indoor turf fields, a picture of his face pops up. Like, that's how big of a lax rat he is. I'm not even exaggerating.
That's awesome. We might have to get him on the pod or something one time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll hit him up.
And before you go ahead and keep us moving down this slate, which I know you are about to do,
mm-hmm.
you skipped one of my midweek matchups that we have to highlight.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back and hit that real quick.
Every time there's one of these, I call it this, but it's the battle for Kentucky.
Oh, okay. The whole state?
which is quite the claim because Rhodes isn't involved. But you got Center and Transylvania coming up on Wednesday. And like I said, anytime there's a battle between two Kentucky teams, I call it the Battle for Kentucky because why not? That's fun and exciting.
That's sick. They should get a state, like a state trophy or something. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That would be sweet. So, yeah, we got a battle for Kentucky coming up. Maybe a bucket of fried
chicken. Yeah.
Bingo. Something. That'd something along sick. Those lines.
Yeah. And, give me Transylvania by 100, though, just from the name.
Well, last year Transylvania beat them 12-10. So Center's got some ground to make up this year to come out and win the battle for Kentucky.
A little bad blood there.
At least the first rendition of this season's battle for Kentucky, I should say.
Yep.
Until which is exciting.
There. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm definitely going to catch geographical.
Yeah, geographical.
Yeah.
Game of the week.
Game of the week. Yeah. I like that.
Stamp it. Geographical game of the week.
Apologies for skipping that too. That one's on me.
It's on the outline.
I got to get better at reading. That's definitely a challenge for me. It's but right. Moving right along, we'll keep this thing going. Shifting back into the weekend. Another couple teams that we've talked about quite a bit. Two top 20 teams. We got Ursinus versus Stevenson to kick off the year. In 2022, I know Stevenson did take that matchup pretty good, 17-9, and they pretty much dominated. So what do you expect here? What do you think you're going to see?
Yeah, and that actually kind of served as payback because your Sinus had taken the previous two matchups.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you mentioned that we talked about Stevenson, and if you think that you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I haven't heard anything about that team, it's very possible that we are referring to episode one, our preseason episode. So if you haven't caught that, feel free to scroll back down in the old pod app and find that preseason episode. Get yourself all schooled up. That's a nice, hefty episode. But so like I said in that, I definitely am bullish on Stevenson. And, I mean, frankly, it's a team that last year won this game 17-9 and the entire freaking team comes back. So I would be surprised to see them drop this in their season debut.
Yeah, that's some good points there. I do see a revenge game, though, with Poust coming back, facing his former team now as a coach. So give me a low-scoring game.
You think he's got
game.
The scout?
Oh, he 100% has the scout. Give me a low-scoring game here, but give me Stevenson on top. I picture, you know, maybe a 10-8, maybe a 9-6 sort of game, 9-7 sort of deal. Where Stevenson does edge it out because they do have, I think, more talent. But Ursinus is going to be very well coached and come ready to play, knowing the scout, knowing the personnel. So can't wait for this one. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yep. So I'll keep diving a little bit into this matchup a little deeper here.
Yeah.
Ursinus, my instinct originally was, if Ursinus is to win this game, it's because Tyler Neal goes for like 5-5, goes off for like 10 points in. He just crushes Stevenson. I don't think that's going to happen. Stevenson's pretty loaded defensively, and I really like their top cover guy, Ryan Quinn. If he's struggling to get the matchup done, Mulvey can step out and give him a nice little alternate. So you have two kind of options there that they can take advantage of depending on whatever look they feel that is benefiting them. Which leads me to my next point. If your Sinus is going to win this game, it's because the midfield steps up and delivers really well because we can bank on that close defense of Stevenson taking away the attack.
Definitely.
So I think those are two really big ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And for those reasons, I see Stevenson winning this one.
That's a good point. I can't fault you there, but I do think it's going to be close and I do think it's going to be a fun one. So we're going to have to wait and see. But moving right along down the list to another fun one. This one's going to be quite interesting. We got
Boys
City, my boys, taking on CNU to start off the year. Last year, CNU took this one 21-9. But Grove City can definitely come out and make a statement. So what do you got here? I think personally, Brett Gladstone's going to go off for at least 10 points. I think he's going to make Hanway look silly in the beginning a little bit. Not too crazy. But then CNU is going to come back, assert their dominance, and kind of go from there.
This isn't Disney Plus.
Come on, it'd be a great story.
I love your optimism. I think the only way for CNU to make a statement in this game is if they just totally dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And with the emotions of last year and the energy coming in of this being like their season debut, I struggle to see it going that way.
That's fair. That's fair. Your brain is smart. You watch a lot of lacrosse.
So
you know these things.
I mean, sure, like I want to believe, man. I want to believe. I like Disney Plus. I'm subscribed. But I just don't see it going that way.
Any given Saturday, you don't think? This just isn't the Saturday. I mean,
sure, any given Saturday, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go on a podcast and say that it's this given Saturday. You know?
All right.
I'm going to play the odds here, I think. It'd be one thing if, you know, I just don't see it. Sorry.
Okay. That's fair. That's fine. That's fine. Again, I don't even see it probably winning, but are they going to make it a great game? Yes.
Either way, you'll be entertained.
You will be entertained. I guarantee it.
No, I meant you.
Oh, me personally. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to love it. I'm going to eat up every second of it. But we'll move right along to a game that might be a little bit more tight, which is going to be.
Is that a prediction?
You heard it here first.
You can't be wrong if you just say they're all going to be close and then one of them is.
Right? Yeah. Then I'm an expert.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll just make sure we only clip analyst that.
Big dog. Yeah. Just put that one clip out. But one that we expect to be a little bit tighter is going to be Dickinson versus Stevens. This is a team that played twice last year. Dickinson took both of them pretty handedly, 13-6. And then in NCAA's, Dickinson really went out and took it 20-6. So what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think Stevens can kind of right the ship from last year and come back on Dickinson?
I think that Dickinson's the better team. I think that Dickinson is more prepared to come in with a identity in place based on last year. That type of stuff just really pays dividends in the early in the year, where Stevens struggled a bit last year. I don't have it exactly in front of me. I remember writing it at some point. I think it was -74. Was their differential against ranked opponents last year. So if that's wrong, I'll come back on the following week and give a little correction on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And so not a whole ton, you know, in place to come back and think that same group would be super competitive again this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they had some injection of talent with a few transfers. And so even if those guys do give them, you know, the looks they need, it just may not be happening this early in the season, right? Like, that's going to take a little bit of time to develop that chemistry. So I think Stevens is probably a team that's better at the end of the year than we see him currently. But I don't think that they're right now in a spot to go ahead and pull this thing out over Dickinson.
Yep, I think I'm inclined to agree with you. And mainly for me, you know me, I love the goalies. It all comes down to Chris Brandeau in the net. He's been an absolute stud. He was one of my players to watch last year on the Big Dogs goalie watch list. So I think early on in the season, like you said, they need to build some continuity. It's going to be tough. And with Brando in between the pipes, I think he's going to be kind of shutting down all the looks that they are going to get.
Yep. And Dickinson is perhaps a team that we could have touched on more in that previous episode. So I'm going to keep throwing some stuff out there for them. And when you're ready to move me along, you just keep me going.
Yeah, yeah. Hit me with some facts.
But the entire starting attack from last year returns, including two freshmen. You remember that whole sophomore slump versus sophomore bump conversation?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That applies here for two of those guys at attack. And then they have a quarterback that has logged a ton of time now at this point in his career. A ton of time. And has a lot of points under his belt in Skyler Schluter.
Yeah, you got it.
So he's logged a ton of time under his belt here. And like I said, serves that quarterback role for that offense. And then everybody who's going to run on their first midfield is a guy that comes back from serving impact role last year and is pretty dynamic and athletic and can get downhill and can shoot it. Mm-hmm. So all of those guys just return, and they already have such an identity in place with those downhill dodgers and then those attackmen. So I see them being just a bit further along, a bit more developed. And then in terms of team chemistry, like on the field, they have that already going. And then fun fact, they took a quick little mission trip to like West Virginia area, I believe, with the Habitat for Humanity. They had 48 guys out there building houses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this off season, like in between, right before the season started for, I think it was a week or so.
Yeah, that's great team bonding and, you know, great just to get out there and help the community.
Plus,
that's,
they got karma on their side now.
I mean, you know, if you got karma, what else can you, what else do you need?
Can't hurt, right?
Yeah, and you know, this is an experienced team. They have the players, they have the experience. I think this is definitely a team that's poised to be pretty good this year.
Yep, and then they're really good at the faceoff. You mentioned the goalie already. Mm-hmm. Really good at the faceoff X. So specialty positions in place, a ton of pieces to the offense in place, some solid poles, an LSM that returns as a sophomore that was really good last year as a freshman. So, yeah, think Dickinson definitely is going to be a good team here, and they have an opportunity to come out and make a pretty big statement against Stevens in game one. And then Stevens kind of similarly has an opportunity to come out and say, like, forget everything you remember about 22. This is a different team, and we're ready to roll.
Definitely, yep. So moving right along down the list here, talking about a couple other good teams, because Muhlenberg's definitely included in the list of good teams. Muhlenberg versus RIT. We got 2022 results as RIT taking the cake 19-9. But as we've talked about, this is a different type of Muhlenberg team. Dan, what do you see? What are you predicting?
I want to kick it to you as our as our resident Muhlenberg lover here.
Well,
I mean, this is our first look at the Liberty League conference winners in RIT, mm-hmm. and the Centennial League winners in the Centennial Conference winners in Muhlenberg, right?
Yep. Oh yeah. Yep, this is going to be a great matchup. I'm going to give you a little sneak peek into Big Dog's Big Takes.
Oh.
Yep, just a little sneak peek. So if you like this, stay till the end. We got some more hot takes coming your way. But I'm going to give you one now, and that's I'm taking Muhlenberg 4.5 in this game, +4.5. It's going to be a tight one.
Who made that line?
I did. Okay. I'm the odds maker.
You could have given yourself way bigger of a buffer.
I don't need it. I had 5.5 on my sheet, and I just erased it to 4.5 because that's how confident I am now that I'm talking it out with you.
Well, let's just swap this. How about you set the line? I take RIT to cover.
Okay.
And we put something on it.
We put a little something-something down on it?
Yeah.
All right. I like that. How much? Can you give me like 3 points? Make it 7.5?
No.
No, is that too much?
You just said 4.5.
You said you give me some. You said you give me some points.
Yeah.
Is that too many?
I mean, this is, you can't just change the line after I establish that it's going to be a bet.
Okay, fine. 4.5. We'll keep it there. Keep the line.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm hammering whatever you want.
No. It's going to be a tight game, man. It's going to be so tight.
It's not.
This is tough. This is tough to go back and forth with you on this. But Muhlenberg is a great team. They're going to be great.
4.5 is egregious. It's an egregious line.
I'm smacking it. Putting all my money down on it.
All right. Well, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll figure that out as we roll here, I guess.
Yeah, we'll get a little, maybe some more fried chicken on it or something.
I can't believe you just tried to move the line like that on me. That was insane.
I thought you weren't paying attention.
You just slide 7.5 after you say 4.5. You tried to slide 3 goals?
I took what you said completely wrong.
It's an eternity.
4.5, I'm still hammering it. And it's because I think the Muhlenberg Mules have a great team. If you didn't hear our pod last week, go back, check it out. But they have an awesome setup this year. I think they got the guys in play to make it happen. Are they going to win this game? I don't know. That would be quite the hot take, which I don't know if I'm ready for that sort of heat yet. But is it going to be a close game? Is it going to be a good game? Yes, 100%. Big Dog stamped it.
RIT 22, Muhlenberg 11.
Oh, no. So many questions up at RIT.
I'm writing that down, 22 to 11.
All right. If you get the score exact, I'll double whatever we bet.
All right.
Yep. And then I'm going to tell you what the real final score is going to be, and it's going to be...
Take your bet. Yeah.
12-8, RIT. Yep, get that written down. This is good content here. But yeah, 12-8, stamp it, lock it in. This is going to be a tight one. Muhlenberg Mules pull it out. Or Muhlenberg drops it right at the end.
I can't wait for our RIT listeners to hear that you put the line at 4.5 for them against Mueller.
There's a lot of questions. We just talked about it. You know, who's taking faceoffs at the X? Is this sick goalie
said that I could take faceoffs for him and they would still probably end up like 50%.
Do they have leadership questions? These are all questions that people are asking.
Who's asking that one?
I have some sources. I got some people asking me, and I can't answer it for them because I think they might.
Wow.
You cooling off after that hot take? You ready to move along?
Yeah.
All right. Keep us moving. I can tell you're kind of shell-shocked, but right. We'll keep things moving a little bit. I think you're going to be pretty distraught when we get to Big Dog's Big Takes later. But moving right along, we'll get this thing going. We'll get Coast Guard versus RIP. RIP last year takes this 18-8. Whoops. That's one you didn't need to correct me on.
I couldn't get to it.
So moving right along, we got Coast Guard versus RPI. 2022 has RPI taken it 18-8. Do you see anything different happening this year, Dan?
No, but I do think that this is, again, another game that is worth getting eyes on early. Coast Guard being one of those teams in the new MAC that can pretty much always make a run to end up with it. So definitely want to get eyes on them early. And then RPI, again, a team right now that we have in the top 20 that we've expressed is a short leash for the top 20 probably, mm-hmm. which is not the hottest take or the craziest statement considering they are currently exactly 20. But again, a good litmus test for both of these teams. Good to get both eyes on both of these guys early and see exactly, you know, what they were able to do this offseason to set themselves up for success in 23.
Yep. Yeah. I'm definitely looking for RPI to kind of come out and handle business. I think that's going to be a good point for them to stay on the top 20 list and stay on the good side of the top 20 rather than fall into the further bottom of that.
Plus, if you got your copy of the Face-Off yearbook this year, you saw the 25 names to know in D3. Mm-hmm. One of those names is Caleb Holdridge.
Great name.
Definitely. And in that Face-Off yearbook, I named him one of D3's most fun players to watch.
Hmm.
And I mean it.
What makes him so fun to watch?
He's dynamic. He does a ton of different... He plays with, like, no intuition, so he does some pretty dynamic stuff. He plays with speed. He plays with energy, passion, and just rides his little tail off. And he's just a fun watch. He does a lot of different stuff. He's a hardworking, like, energetic player. That one of those guys that you can just tell, like, all right, that kid's having fun out there.
Got it. Love seeing that. You know,
yeah.
Just makes the game so much more fun to watch.
Yeah, one of those, like, you can just
so much fun.
You can just tell watching film, like, dude loves lacrosse.
Yep. That's awesome. Yeah, can't wait to see him get out there then and maybe mix it up.
Yeah, so for all of these reasons, definitely you know, a good game to get eyes on, and Coast Guard definitely a team to watch when you can. Caleb's pretty fun to watch.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely have to check that out. All right, so moving right along, before we get to Big Dog's Big Takes, remember to submit your guess for which D3 jersey is hanging up in the wall in the inside lacrosse office. I will give you a slight hint. Out of all the teams that we reviewed between what they did the past weekend, what's coming up this week, they were one of the teams mentioned. Sorry if that's too much of a hint, Dan, but had to give the people a little bit of something to work forward to.
Well, considering we've only had one guest, I appreciate you doing something to solicit some guests here.
True, yeah.
Who wants to win a shirt, people?
Yeah, come on. It's a free shirt, so shoot out your guesses. Shoot them over to Dan on Twitter or myself.
New Balance long sleeves. Those things are like $35.
Yeah, they're sweet, too. It's awesome. Be turning so many heads with that thing walking down the street. So make sure to shoot your guesses over, and it's going to be fun. But moving right along.
That was a great plug.
Thank you. Yeah. You know me. I'm getting better each week.
Darn right. Are you ready to take us to the Big Dog Big Takes?
Oh, my favorite segment of the week.
It's mine, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think it's everybody's.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. And it's the Big Dog's Big Takes of the week.
I got to grab my sheet from last week here.
Yep.
So I can keep these bad boys nice and neat and organized.
Yes. Yep. I see your sheet there. It looks great. Sectioned off. Perfect. Yep. Perfect. All right. Where do you want? So we started already. I gave you a little bit of a teaser. Muhlenberg 4.5. Absolutely love that play. Stamp that one down, lock it in. But another one that kind of leads into that, and it's one I alluded to, does RIT have a leadership problem?
Are you saying that? Why are you saying that?
Why am I saying that?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Don't you think that they're going to be upset about you saying that?
What do they have to be upset about?
Goodspeed's going to drive down here and beat
your ass.
They've
won two national championships, and they're the favorite to win a third. Like,
yeah, so how do they have leadership issues? That seems like something that you need to have to win two in a row.
True, it is, and it's something that they have had for a long time. But this year, I got some sources, got some boots on the ground, all right? Heard they just got a captain. Great guy. Love the guy. We gave him a lot of shine last week. Noah Bruno. Excellent player. Great guy. Couldn't like the guy more. Couldn't have him in higher regards. But RIT did just name him a captain before the season. A little bit interesting to have a fifth-year transfer named as your captain, wouldn't you say, Dan?
No.
Really?
No.
Not at all?
No.
Doesn't make you any sort of concerned?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it makes me concerned. It makes me very concerned.
Well, I apologize, but I do not share in this concern. I think this is a potentially more egregious take than that they're only going to beat Muhlenberg by 4.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot.
Actually, it is a more egregious take. No, potentially.
Look, I love Noah. I'm not saying this in a negative way at all because I love Noah. I think he's an
excellent
guy. There's
no way to question a program's leadership in a positive way.
True. But, like how is this guy just coming in off the street and you're making him your captain?
I mean, clearly he came in and proved to be a hard worker that the team looked up to.
It feels to me that there's a void of leadership, and somebody stepped in and they said, hey, this guy seems like he'd be a great fit. Let's plug him in.
Egregious.
We'll have to see. I think we're going to see a lot this Saturday.
Egregious.
All right. Well, moving right along, something a little bit could be more egregious. I don't know. I have to get your take on it.
That you will. You'd have to try. You'd have to be trying to top it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give my best shot here.
That's like 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy.
All right. So let's take it down to like an 8 out of 10 then, something in that range. And I'm going to tell you that I'm selling Salisbury's defense. I'm a seller right now after that Roanoke game this week. I mean, the whole selling point on Salisbury and me putting them at 2, because I did give them that bump over Tufts last week. I did it. It was because of the defense and the experience that they have on defense and every single player coming back from defense. And what do? In your first game of the year, you give up 10 to Roanoke? Are you kidding me? You're supposed to be the number 2 team in the nation, and you're dropping 10 points to Roanoke? Come on. That's absurd, and I'm selling.
So what is the take?
That I'm selling Salisbury's defense.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
I don't know how to quantify that, but
Salisbury's defense, as of February 13th, 9 p.m., 2023, trash. Heard it here first.
Selling on Salisbury defense.
Yep, all these. Oh, man, this is a great sheet of paper that you got.
Yes.
Somebody's going to see this paper and just lose their mind.
I doubt it.
But I got one more for you, if you can handle it.
I can.
You can?
I mean,
it doesn't.
Again, you'd have to be trying to top that RIT.
You're a little shook, but I'm going to give you one more. And it's kind of goes off one of my takes last week a little bit, but I think St. Mary's is a little bit better on offense this year, losing Jude Brown. Better on offense.
So these are just three. Like, remember what I was saying earlier about like there's hot takes and then there's just wrong takes?
Yeah.
These are three. These are, like, just three downright
incorrect takes.
Yes.
I don't know. I saw some of that game this weekend from Southern Virginia, and I just thought the way that they moved the ball as a cohesive unit on offense was just so much better. I mean, last year, Jude's a great, great player, not taking anything away from him. But I think just that unit as a whole works so much better now at moving the ball and kind of working through other guys and not having to rely on one person or getting the ball into one person's stick just to make things happen.
sure, that may make them more cohesive, but it doesn't raise their ceiling.
Their ceiling, maybe, but I think they're going to be a better team this year in general, just the way that their offense works.
Again, it just there's just no way that you lose that caliber of a player and then expect to be able to continue to beat, like...
Well, you're losing that caliber of player, sure, but you're gaining two other players that make up for that, and then when you do that, you're so much more dynamic because
but
now
you
it
aren't
doesn't,
more dynamic.
All,
That's
it doesn't all flow through the
you're
same,
not
the same
more
person.
Dynamic. You're more cohesive, but you're not more dynamic, which drastically lowers your ceiling. You need to have players that can break down the best covers defensively, or
but
whatever ball movement you're referring to doesn't happen because defenses aren't going to have to slide.
But like as an RIT, if you think about this, for example, I'm just putting
but team
Jensen
gets to slide
down
to
on,
RIT.
Well, on offense, yeah. But if I'm defensively prepping for St. Mary's as RIT, I'm just putting Jensen on Brown and saying shut him off, and then it's over at that point. Whereas now they have six guys that all could be dangerous potentially, and you have to guard all six of them.
Again, though, like I think that you may be putting a little bit too much on their ability to for all six of those guys to break down someone on Southern Virginia's defense versus to break down the top of their competition, which is where I bring in their ceiling, right? Like their ceiling as an offense is better when Jude Brown was on their team.
I'll digress and see what actually happens this weekend.
I think in, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, we look back on this segment of Big Dogs, Big Takes with a big X. Big X.
Man, well, time's only going to tell that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think those, again, your McMillan leaves and Gettysburg gets better take last year,
mm-hmm.
that was a very solid level of hot take, right on the you know,
the cusp.
Potentially accurate, could be, you know, mm-hmm. who, by the way, he got the start at St. Joe's this week. I don't know if you saw that. Mm. But this segment of Big Dogs, Big Takes were just outlandish. Just pulled from outer space.
Good, you know. I call it how I see it, you know. And this is how I see it. But I hope that was enough heat for you.
Yep. All right. Well, with all that said, let's go ahead and start to outro this thing. What else do you got for us? Anything?
Nothing really too much. I think we hit on all the heavy hitters this weekend, but it's just so great. Lacrosse is back. Let's just say it once. Like, lacrosse is back. We're back. This is awesome. I'm so excited.
Yep. And so, like we said, if this was if you were kind of struggling to shake the rust so far, this slate here, especially with a couple midweek games leading into a solid Saturday slate, should really get you going here. Really should help kick the rust and get you started here. And so, with all that said, I am Dan Kaplan.
And I'm the Big Dog.
And we appreciate you guys coming back and listening to us chop it up for some D3 action here. Always a good time kicking it with you. Until next week, peace and love.
Likewise. Love y'all.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.